Hello, welcome to another episode of Verizon Scan. Will we get through this episode with no sound issues? Have you looked into the microphone I asked you to look into?
Well, I'll get through that any sound issues.
Well, yeah,
I don't know about you.
Maybe your internet will just drop out completely and we'll have to restart the episode. Because that's happened, doesn't it? Yeah.
Why are you in a shirt today, Gus?
I'm in linen mode.
Oh my god.
I'm not at work. Linen's
linen.
It's fucking summery.
Linen shirt.
Yeah?
No.
Why?
Gay.
Is it?
Yes, linen shirt. No offense, gay people. Linen shirt, just a turn of phrase.
How is that gay?
I don't know. I think it's not manly.
Okay. So where do you... Okay, so pink shirt, linen shirt.
I don't want to delve into why. What the whys I think that. Let's not do that. Okay. I got a thing about linen shirts and linen in general.
Do we abused by a linen shirt wearing fucking weirdo?
No, I would be okay with a linen jacket, like suit jacket, as a casual throw on for something, but not linen shirt or linen shorts. I think it's because I've got some misconception. I think they indicate a certain type of person who wear those things. You know, like
a person who wants to stay cool in the heat. Like those sorts of people.
When you wear a t-shirt, when you wear a seg t-shirt.
Linen's actually better than that. Linen and cotton are good for just general not being a sweaty bastard. Were you not aware of this?
What do you mean?
Well, obviously, for example, seg t-shirts are polycotton, aren't they? So they've got some, what you call it, the tri-blend. So there's three different materials in there. One of them's cotton, and the other two are like elastane type, polyester type stuff. But they're good for training in, all that stuff, to go for mincing around in. But if it gets really hot, you know, if you are someone who perspires, who is an efficient sweater, as I am, because I'm extremely efficient in all things, you get big sweaty pits and sweaty back. Mm. I do. Well, as Jamie Lambie, our ambassador, if you will know.
I am also a sweater.
Get a wet back, be moist. Yeah.
But I am. It's mental fast. It's like noticeable. So, like, if I go boxing in the mornings where the kind of floor is, you could just see sweat on the floor.
Yeah.
And as soon as we start, I am dripping in sweat within, gosh, less than 5 minutes, dripping in sweat. And I can look around and no one else is. Because, you know, like, especially when we're doing bag work, you got the bags hanging out, you can just look to the bottom of the bag and you can see who's sweating, who's not. And it's usually only me. It's mental.
Yeah. I got thrown out of a gym, our local, like, there was some gym in Bakel where I used to live, unfortunately. The place that fucking Royster Vase is based on. That's Jen. Yeah, I got thrown out of a gym for sweating.
What?
Yeah. Fucking gym owner basically just followed me around the gym, giving me fucking dirty looks. And I was like, I saw it a mile off, obviously. I'm a fucking switched on individual. I noticed things like that. He was fucking covertly watching me. And he started to get a bit closer. And he's like a big guy. He basically tried to peer pressure me into not sweating on his equipment. So he was like, just stand real close to me and just stare at me. And in the end, obviously, I completely ignored him. I was fucking internally laughing my head off. In the end, he came over.
How did you know it was about sweat?
Because he came over to me. He literally came over to me and said, "What's going on?" And I was like, "What?" He goes, "Well, it's fucking sweat everywhere." It's like, "Yeah, I'm in a fucking gym. I mean, I'm training." And he's like, "Well, it's not acceptable. It's fucking unhygienic." And I was like, "Okay." I fucking cleaned up my sweat and I left and never went back.
Was this in the UK?
I told you it was in Bake Up, yeah. Bake Up.
Bake Up, Bake Up. Bake Up. Yeah, I don't know that. I didn't.
Rossendale Valley.
Bake Up sounds foreign. I didn't know. No. Never heard of it.
Jen, it's like, you know, League of Gentlemen?
Yeah.
League of Gentlemen? Yeah, that's the problem with the comedy thing. Yeah, they're fucking weird, fucking inbred nightmare town that's just depressing and fucking odd, most amazing. Based on Baker. They wrote that thing after a visit to Baker.
No.
Yes. That's where I used to live with my missus. Yeah.
Wow.
It's one of those places that could be a nice place, apart from all the fucking weirdos that live there, like me.
Mm. Well, yeah. Serves you right for, serves you right for sweating.
Well, exactly. But to get back to the original point, this has become a health podcast, hasn't it?
I don't think anyone's thinking, oh, this conversation is good for health benefits right now.
Well, health and fashion. So yeah, linen shirts, linen and cotton, but more breathable. You know, I have toyed around on many an occasion. It might still happen one day. Of doing a like 100% cotton line of seg stuff for people who want cotton stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or gay. No. Well, we're inclusive here. I can't believe I've got someone from fucking 3 Power Beast to me for being gay. Jesus Christ. Right, the gayness has stopped recording now because you're fucking, you've disappeared. It's all got fucking too gay. As if that's me back, yes. Do you hear me?
Yes.
What the fuck happened there then? Apart from the fact that we spoke too much about fucking gay fashion and the fucking GHQ pulled the plug on us.
I'd said I had no internet connection. While I was literally looking at my Wi-Fi, it said full internet connection and everything else was working.
There you go. Right, so where were we? We were talking about doing a fucking 100% cotton version of seg shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody actually wants that, let me know. I might do it. I might do it. They might be a bit more expensive, maybe, but I suppose some people like that. I think they might have to be embroidered, though. Embroidering is not easy to do for my current business setup.
Oh.
Well, it's just not. You don't really do embroidery on demand. The same way you do print on demand. So if we did that, we might have to do a pre-order. I don't like doing pre-orders because they're fucking boring. But sometimes they're good for doing bespoke guitar shit. Well, it's going to be fun editing this. Okay. What? What's that face you're pulling? You're pulling a face like fucking...
I was thinking through the practicalities of editing this. Just download the file.
You don't do it anyway.
Download the file, but I'm just thinking how I would do it.
You look
download
like you were buffering.
Download the file, clip out the bit where I was disconnected, re-upload it.
No. You do what? It in fucking Riverside. You just go, cook, cut it out. It's fine.
Oh, what's the drama?
It's not your responsibility. You do nothing. You have nothing to do with it. It's just like, it's going to add 10 minutes to my work.
10 minutes? You need to work faster. Anyway.
I like fucking yesterday when I had to deal with you being pedantic for fucking 40 minutes.
Yesterday? Work groups. Oh, that wasn't being pedantic. Anyway, let's not talk about that.
No, let's not.
Let's talk about Iran striking Israel, everyone going fucking mental because they did it, but everyone also forgetting that Israel had taken out one of Iran's embassies a couple of days before, which I had also forgotten about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fucking... Were you awake when it happened?
No.
I was. I've been up fucking... I'd been up late. It was about 2 in the morning here. And I'd been up playing fucking Helldivers 2 with my brother and friends, which is fucking epic. I'm sucked in by a computer game.
Helldivers?
Helldivers, yes.
Go on.
You don't know
what
it is?
Explain that game to me. It doesn't sound very cool.
No, it's Ali. Like, fucking hell. How can I explain that to you? It's just a fucking shooter.
Helldivers 2 is a third-person squad-based shooter that sees the elite forces of the Helldivers battling to win an intergalactic struggle to rid the galaxy of something.
Automatons and bugs. It's like, they basically made like a piss-take game.
I feel like it doesn't require any thinking whatsoever, guys, to be honest.
No, it does. It requires skill. Yeah, it's like, think of Starship Troopers. It's like playing Starship Troopers.
Right.
It's funny. It's good. It's very epic. Good fun. Anyway, I've been up playing that with my brother and a couple of friends. And I've just gone to bed. And then it started. And it was obviously all telegraphed from, like, you know, hours before. Yeah, they said exactly what they were going to do. Everyone knew it was happening. You could literally fucking watch the drones flying over for fucking hours before any of them landed. And everyone's just pulling the, oh, it's World War III. World War III started. Oh, we need to meme World War III into existence. And actually, turns out, a little bit of a fucking nothing burger a few days later. It's just, it feels...
I wouldn't say that, mate. I wouldn't say that at all. Why do you think it's a nothing burger?
No, it's not World War III, is it?
No, maybe not yet. No, but maybe...
Were desperate. My point is that people were desperately trying to meme World War III into happening. Like, this is World War III, panic, fucker. And then a few days later, it's like, nothing much has come of it. Nothing huge has come of it.
Not in terms of military action, but it's thrown the geopolitical situation into more turmoil than it already was.
Has it?
Yeah, it has.
What's changed?
The rhetoric towards Israel has gotten
rhetoric
even less favourable from the West, from Biden and from Sunak.
We're not. I mean, that's
from what they're saying, anyway. From what they're saying,
we're not sustaining.
Anyway,
but it's like they say. It's like this. Is just what I'm saying. The whole thing is, it's just not like things used to be. It doesn't seem like things used to be to me. Everything seems. And I'm not saying that this isn't a fucking serious situation. The whole thing is a serious situation. But you're seeing, like, what is happening with people talking. People are saying one thing and doing another. You know, it's all very much, well, I'm going to do this, and because I've done this, you can do that, and you do that, and then you do this. Everyone's telegraphing what they're going to do. There's no surprise. There's no, like, surprise attacks. It's all just happening. Everyone's giving everyone plenty of notice about it. It's performative. It's like theatre. And everyone's obviously talking about it and condemning things and saying, no, we won't support you. We won't do this. You should probably back down. Don't do this. But we're also funding it all. Just I mean, it doesn't seem real. Like, obviously, it is real. But I don't know. It feels like theatre for the masses. That's what it feels like. What everyone's saying anyway. I mean, what's actually happening is situation no change. Iran still doesn't like Israel. Israel still doesn't like Iran. Everyone still wants, the West still wants war with Iran. Everyone wants, the West wants to support Israel, but is having political problems at home for doing that. Nothing's really changed. Basically. I mean, that's my view anyway. It just, that's when I say it's a nothing burger, that's what I mean.
No, I don't think so. I think because it's a massive change. Is Iran being drawn in like this? Is Iran doing something, military action like this? It's a massive change. It's like an escalation of the. It's like the levels of force people are willing to use. States are willing to use at the moment. You know, 4 months, 5 months ago, would Iran have been willing to do something like this? No, because they fucking didn't. And now they are willing to do something like this and feel safe doing it.
Yeah, but if Iran sponsored the attacks on fucking the 7th,
yeah,
is that not a similar thing?
No, it's an indirect link. This is direct link. Iran launching missiles to Israel. This is direct.
Yeah, but it depends what you think about that, though, doesn't it? Like, if everyone knows, if it's a fact that Iran backed those attacks. And it's only, did Iran deny it at the time? Maybe they did.
I can't remember.
Yeah, like I say, I'm not.
But either saying way, it's gone from Israel attacking Palestine, Hamas attacking Israel, and from that to now Iran involved, direct military action. It changes things up. Now, if you could look at it from the perspective that. Yeah, maybe there's some shenanigans going on by the West in terms of trying to control the narrative, not getting people, letting people get too one-sided against Israel, and so something like Iran pops up, the attack pops up, to try and keep people like on the fence between things and not allowing people to get too much on the side of the Palestinians, and equally too much from the side of the Israelis. They could be like some what you call it, puppetry going on, shenanigans to try and influence what people think, Joe Public, voting public think, you know, in the West. I think that's unlikely. I think it could look like that, but I think it's more that what we're seeing is down to similar to part of the reasoning behind the Ukraine conflict, Syria, Iraq, is military industrial complex perpetuating things for profitable ends.
Well, that's a given, isn't it?
If I was going to be uber cynical, me.
That's not being cynical. That's a given, I think.
Yeah.
I think if you're being... Anyone who says that isn't at least a benefit and people don't have an interest in making that happen is fucking so naive that, you know, it's probably not worth listening to them.
You know what's crazy? That people just... I don't think Joe Public sees it, even though it's so obvious, is the piss take of Sunak to turn around and condemn Israel for the way they're conducting themselves in Palestine and saying they need to, you know, as other people have done now and the UN has done, like, he's done it in the last few days. Oh, I think that's what he said. He said Israel, something like Israel needs to exercise restraint, not go crazy with what's going on because of the Iran situation, and behave when they're going about their war things. But at the same time, we should give them weapons. Fucking crazy.
Yeah,
like, hey, everybody, it's like the teacher in the playground going, hey, everybody, calm down, no fighting in the playground, while dishing out knuckle dusters secretly to the gang he likes, the bullies he likes. You take the knuckle dusters and go and fill them in. Take the sticks.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fucking joke.
That's the point I'm making. This is like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's this is what is happening.
Yeah. You know, why aren't we arming? Yeah. You know, why aren't we arming Palestine? Why are we arming the bigger force? If this is a conflict that's really bad for everyone, and at the minute is really bad for the Palestinians, why are we choosing to arm Israel? Why aren't we arming both or arming Palestine?
Well, because Israel is our ally. That's the lie.
But at the minute, we're saying Palestinian lives matter.
Yeah.
But let's give Israel the weapons. I don't know. I'm not saying we should be arming Palestine people for people just throwing their fucking phones at the window.
I'm going to cut that bit. That's going to be the clip.
I'm not saying we should be arming
Why
Palestine.
Why are we arming Palestine?
Yeah, I'm talking about the hypocrisy of saying this conflict is a nightmare and shouldn't be happening while giving weapons to the country that has already overwhelming dominance over the Palestine.
But is there not a bit of, like, kind of side topic? We're talking about the perception of things. Is there not a bit of old playbooks being used that don't work anymore? So, like, in before the internet, before we had this massive sort of passage of information, and certainly the internet as it is in the past, you know, 5 years, where you've got the citizen journalist thing, you know, truth on the ground comes out somewhere in minutes. Is it so countries used to be able to go, we're doing this, as in, like, you put a story out, so we condemn what this country is doing, and all the arms sales or whatever was happening that contradicts that statement wouldn't really go anywhere. Only real fucking deep investigative journalists who couldn't get a voice to the wider public would know that stuff. And the stories that we've run in the mainstream media, in the papers and stuff that people used to read and on the TV, would all back most of the time what, or would at least publicise what their politicians were saying. It's only recently where they say things like, oh, well, you know, Israel needs to screw the nut and stop smashing Hamas. Or stop smashing, you know, be careful with civilians. Saying that in public. But the fact that we're also helping to arm Israel, that information comes out straight away because there's some nerd on the internet who knows all of that stuff and can get it out to a big audience straight away. So countries and politicians trying to communicate in the old fashion and just their hypocrisy. I'm wondering if they're just running off an old playbook or they actually just don't care anymore because they know that it doesn't, nothing really, doesn't make any real difference if someone points a finger at them and says and calls them hypocrites.
I think they're running off an old playbook and they don't realize that people are getting, that less people are paying credence to what legacy media news outlets are saying and are paying more credence to what they can go and find on the internet themselves. And people are learning how to sift through the chaff on the internet and find the reputable sources. You know, they basically learn how to score the information they're reading in terms of intelligence scales. You know, how reliable is it? How likely is it? How reliable is it, and what's the source? But and so I think right now, and yeah, so they don't realize this, but I think right now it's not having a big enough impact to make them switch on to it. I think it's going to take another 5-10 years of the older generations dying off. So you've basically got less people in the population in the West who have this, oh, the BBC, Sky, CNN, Fox, they're where you get your reputable news from. Nowhere else. If it's not on there, it's not real. If it's not on there, it's probably bullshit. I think for that generation to dwindle out, you know, and then the most of the people who are adults in the Western world will have grown up like our generation below, like we do. You go, okay, well, the news doesn't seem to be that reliable anymore. They seem to be all steered by an agenda in some way, shape, or form, be that their own agenda or someone else's agenda, or the way they, or the kind of content they chuck out seems to just want to get my attention and get me engaging and click on the fucking link to generate ads. Oh, I can get news from other sources, like social media. You know, I can get information from there.
But then that's why we're saying people trying to make laws in to counter that. Yeah.
Censorship. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, certainly in the US, it appears to me anyway, if you live in the US, you let us know if we're talking bullshit. It seems to me there is more and more people. I mean, we're seeing it here too. We just, I think that it's kind of different in the US because they're the main funders of this stuff. People are just sick of seeing their tax money going to fight wars and support things that they don't think have anything to do with them. And you can argue to toss about whether it actually is something to do with them and it's an existential threat. And if you attack this country, then you're attacking us. You can say that if you want to. And you can go and you can argue that. I don't think people really believe that anymore. I think people are skint. I think people are looking at the amount of problems they've got in their own countries, not getting fixed. Their country's getting worse, and then wondering why we've got money, billions and billions to send to other countries. And that's not going to play for much longer. People will lose their shit.
That's the thing. I think it's becoming,
and that's perfectly reasonable. That's a completely reasonable fucking position. Stop giving my tax money to people who have nothing to do with me.
My
road.
It is, but there's been an attitude, an attitude that's been something developed over the last 20, well, since 9/11, let's say. And it's been put out there by the USA. And that is that it is the honourable and the right thing to do. When you see another country which is having problems, to go in there with your military force and decide you are going to go in and change the future for that country based on what you think is right. Right? It's the honourable and right thing to do. That's what this attitude that they've brought about in people. So if we don't go into Ukraine, the Ukrainian people, they're fucked. We should go in there. We should go in and send a military in there and sort it out. Ukraine, Syria, Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, fucking hell. You name them. We've gone in and done that. When in reality, there are so many more countries in the world that are in a similar situation, either on the verge of conflict or in conflict or coming out of conflict and then clipped because they're trying to recover. You don't go and deal with all those places, right? And the point I'm making on this is, it's like a guilt trip, right? Well, if we don't go in there and sort this out, millions of people are going to die, or millions are going to be problems, and that country's going to be not going to prosper, and they're going to have poverty and all the rest of it. But the point you're making there, we've got our own problems at home, like real fucking problems. As you said, people are feeling the pinch. I do believe that there is a place for an interventionist foreign policy. I think the fucking threshold needs to be much lower. The threshold for action needs to be much higher than what it is now. It literally needs to be in extremis. There is an undeniable threat towards our country if these two other countries, which we're not involved with, if they go to fucking war, we are fucked. There needs to be an undeniable threat that we need to go in there and sort that out, right? And those situations are few and far between. Like, when has there been one of those in the last 30 years?
But this is it. It depends who you're listening to, because there are many people shouting at the screen now saying that's Ukraine and Russia.
I know. That's what I'm saying. This is part of the problem. How would you prove it? How would you say it's undeniable? How would you assess the evidence and go, okay, yeah, I believe in that? But that should be the threshold. It should be really fucking high, right? Because the money can be better spent right now. We literally piling on, and we know. I know it's not hard cash that is going to these countries, but it's still effort going to these places. Money being wasted that could be redirected internally. UK right now is a really fucking hard place to live. You and I were talking yesterday. I've got a very good friend whose rent has gone up 33% in 12 months. 33% in 12 months. In 5 years, the rent for that place is almost doubled. That is fucking crazy. That is fucking crazy. You know, and that is happening across the board. Just one example. And then you can go on the price of goods. Same in the USA. You know, so people, I think, to your point, they're going to get more and more fed up with it.
It's about attitudes towards citizens as well, though, isn't it? Because...
Go on.
Well, it's... People feel disrespected, I think. People work. No one likes paying tax, but people understand why they do pay tax. People understand that, no one goes, yes, tax. But, you know, especially after people have just done their taxes, certainly in the US. It used to be, when your country is functioning well and everything is all right and people feel like, this is a good place, it's going places, we have a certain status, everything's all right. Yes, maybe we should go and sort these problems out. And maybe we can spare some cash to go and help those people and make this happen because we can see the big picture and whatever. People were generally more supportive of that stuff because they don't feel quite the same pride. I suppose it's pride in a way. They don't feel the same way about their country. They feel like these things are happening. These things are happening and they're not in their name. So we know tough, you need to pay, get working, you need to pay taxes because we need to go do this. You've got these politicians telling you that. And the public are saying, why are we involved? What's going on here? But we're not really down with this. The consent is not, I don't think it is anyway. The consent doesn't seem to be there in quite the same way to go and do this stuff. And when the people who you've elected to lead you and deal with your country first before you go around the world dealing with stuff, they're not doing that job. So people just feel like they're being rinsed to go and deal with stuff that has nothing to do with them. It's a really bad state for a country to be in. And us and the US are in the same position here. You're watching it crumble around you. You're watching your life get harder. And being told that, well, suck it up, big guy, because you need to pay for us to go and do this in this other country. It's not going to wash.
The States, right? If you think, like, what happened to America? You think back to World War II, right? World War II, okay? Raging across Europe, the world, yeah? The USA didn't get involved until 1941, right? Germany had taken over. They had at that point, I think, France. They had, obviously, they had Poland. France, most of France. Poland. They had parts of Scandinavia in control. They had fucking Ukraine, parts of Russia, going down at the Eastern Bloc. Where else did they have at that point? Obviously, that was it. That was 1941, right? Ish. And the USA were like, yeah, we're fine. There's no, we just got to leave it play out, really. And then it's only when they got attacked in Pearl Harbor by the Japs that they went, yeah, let's get involved. You know, and now the fucking, the nearest sniff of some drama in some country which has very good oil reserves or mineral reserves or something else that they like to have, or just a good opportunity for a punch-up and they can spend lots of money on military equipment, then you'd get involved. Fucking crazy. I was thinking right just now when you were talking, so crazy. World War II didn't get involved until like 2 or 3 years later after it started.
Yeah, we did. They learned during World War II how much money there is to be made from war.
Yeah, I don't think that was the motivation for getting involved, was it? Or maybe it was, because they were already lending money, weren't they?
So we have, like, there's part of US policy that's always been about containing Europe, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm going to Google that. Hang on.
Go for it. Yeah.
US policy.
But you got to remember, we can all be friends. You have to disconnect from this and look at it as a game. Like, if all countries have their interests.
It's containment of communism.
No. Well, you can say it quite like that, but just generally keeping Europe as not a threat to itself.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It makes it like you can... You don't have to be adversarial about it in your mindset towards it. You can look at it and go, well, this is just what countries do. Countries look after their own interests. And Europe in a little bit of fucking turmoil constantly snap at each other. That is in the US's interests because it, you know, that, yeah, it's in their interests.
Oh, so, that makes sense. You know, you sort of have two different kinds of nations, don't you? I think, in terms of military power, I think. You've got the ones that are. You got three maybe. You got the ones at the top, which are like those fucking superpowers. At the minute, which is Russia and China. Mm-hmm. US maybe still slightly, right? Maybe it's still hanging in there as a superpower. Arguably it is, if you factor in the political strength, right? Say those three. Then below that, you've got countries with very strong military capability, not superpower level. And they are allied to a superpower, UK, for example, right? And then below that, you've just got the pawns. You've just got the pawns. You've got countries, you've got very little military power, if any, very little like political sway, geopolitical sway, if any. And they may or may not be allied to a superpower. I think they're the three parts you've got. And I think the USA is about to dip out of that top band. They're going out the top set. They're coming back into the middle set with the UK, I think. But then,
well, but part of what we're seeing around the world now is then trying to cling onto that. It's the dying empire thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you think if the USA dropped out, do you think there is any sort of future where China and Russia come together in terms of, yeah, they come together and they act as two superpowers aligned going forward, and all of a sudden, the whole world's communist.
Yeah, but then none of those countries are really communist, are they? Like proper communism. None of those countries are proper communist.
Well, they're not old. They're not old communism, are they? Like China's invented this new kind of communism, which kind of works pretty well for them.
Is it actually communism?
Unless you're Joe Public.
Yeah. Is it actually communism though? I don't think it is. And it's
You think it's more, well, it's not a democracy, is it? They don't have, you know, it's not a democracy.
No.
If it was like a democracy, you could say it's like just a very authoritarian type of democracy, like a hybrid.
It's probably you know, it is authoritarian, and it is, I'd say, because, you know, it probably is socialist, but it doesn't say it's communist. Even if it has a communist party, it's not like textbook old communism, is it?
No, but neither is democracy. Doesn't mean it's not communism. This is the modern version.
I think it is. It's some weird hybrid mix of a lot of things.
There is a term for it. I can't remember what it is. They do it very well. You know, they have this like socialist, communist, whatever you call it, situation, but they also have the, you know, they allow things like entrepreneurialism. All right, they skin them for money. You know, there's like, you know, the Communist Party has their fingers in every single business out there and a lot of control of it. But they allow this entrepreneurialism, you know, which is really interesting. But I think that's because they recognize how much money can bring into the country. You have to, you can't be completely closed off like North Korea does. There needs to be a relationship of sorts with other countries outside of what you are to try and get the things that you can't produce internally, you know, and for export reasons. But what kind of political system is China? China functions with a communist state framework based on the system of People's Congress under the leadership of the Communist Party. That is not. There is a term for it.
Yeah.
China is ruled by a one-party authoritarian dictatorship. Let me look at this. So the state of the People's Republic of China is entirely under the monopolistic control of a single ruling political party, the CCP. The institutions of state and party are nominally separate, and China is sometimes referred to as a dual-track political system in which separate roles are maintained for state and party positions. For example, the governor, a state leader of a province, may often be a separate individual from the party secretary, the party leader. Okay, that's not what I was after.
But, it's got to be communism. Of course it's communism. It's run by the Communist Party. Like, in practice, that's not how the country works. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You don't have like... Yeah, it's just... it's when you think of communism of the past, that is not what China is. But yeah, Russia and China come together. Don't know. Who knows? Who fucking knows?
I just thought something.
What?
Are we going to do Horizon Scan Live for US election night?
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Like a party.
We could also do it for UK election night.
It's not quite as exciting, though, is it? We could.
I think it is.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that if you want to. We'll put it in the books. We need a date for that first night.
I'll get onto Rishi and I'll get onto Biden. Yeah. Give him a call.
Give him a fucking call. Yeah.
Yeah. I just in my mind envisioned Biden answering my call on his phone and looking at his phone. And in my head, he had one of those phones for old people with massive buttons.
Brilliant. There's all sorts of funny things with that at the moment. There's a couple of people I follow that talk about the US election and the Trump thing, and like talking about the when Trump gets into power, like a legacy thing happening with like his son after him. Have you seen Barron Trump?
Yeah,
seen his son. You've seen all the stuff about that, like the memes and jokes. Yeah, I'm following quite a lot of funny stuff about that. About
have you seen the thing? Apparently, that the judge in his.
That's what I'm talking about.
How is that?
That's kind of what I'm talking about.
Okay. Boy,
okay, you read my mind. You tell me what I was about to say.
No, go on.
No, you go on. I want to see
you. No, you go on. No. I insist.
Yeah, so he's basically been. You can't. I'm amazed. I would be amazed with your fucking sanity if you think that what's happened to Trump is fair, even if you hate the guy. And I know there's lots of you who fucking hate him and think he's a fucking Beelzebub or whatever. But if you think what's happening to him is anything but election interference, then I've got a spare crack pipe for you. Keep going.
I know a lot of people who are on that crack pipe.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. Yeah, but there's lots of them. And you're entitled to feel like that. I've said many times, is Trump the best person to lead that country? Probably not. Have you got a choice between two people? Are they both pretty wank? I'll pick him. And I also don't like what's happening to him. I don't like even if it's just optics, the optics of what are happening to the biggest rival to the current presiding power are not good for what America is meant to be. So the judge, he's going through all these fucking cases, and the judge is generally every fucking judge and prosecutor seems to be doing their utmost just to fuck him about and make his life unworkable. Because they're fucking stupid. They don't realize that every time they do that, he gets more popular. So what they've said is he is not allowed to go to his son's graduation because he has to stay within, he basically has to be in court. So his son's going to graduate. Not going to give him a fucking day off to go and square his son away.
He's got weeks or months worth of being in the court. Yeah. And
yeah. So he's going to give him a day off.
Yeah.
But yeah, to talk about the memes and the humor behind it, like talking about the rage of his son, what his son must be feeling now, and what's happening to his dad.
I haven't seen these.
And the wrath that's going to come.
I haven't seen these.
But if you look at Barron Trump, he is, physically, at least, he's a more impressive individual than his dad, even though his dad's basically fucking superhuman, living off fucking McDonald's and shit, and still alive. But yeah, there's just lots of funny memes about him seething with rage, and when he eventually runs for office, which he probably will.
Do you know what? The more I think about it, the less I think he's going to get in. I think he's overwhelmingly, if it was a normal democracy, mate, then I think Trump landslide wins. And it's probably going to be, it's probably going to look like that anyway. But I think that the Democrats are under so much influence from things like the military industrial complex, tinfoil hat, they're under so much influence of people from companies, organizations who make money from the interventionist foreign policy that USA deploys. They make so much money and they've got so much influence on the Democrats that the Democrats are going to do anything they can to stop Trump becoming president.
It isn't just Democrats though, is it? It's mainly them, but it's people on the right as well as Republicans too.
Okay, yeah. All right, yeah.
It's the Uniparty thing.
Yeah, and the other thing, yeah, it is. Yeah, I agree. And the other thing is that I mentioned to you before, I think, when I interviewed a guy called Tom Yegi on H-Hour, this an American who basically researches, he's got a special interest in, I say special interest, I mean, a bit peculiar, but he's a good guy. I seem to be a good guy. In nuclear armaments and nuclear conflict, not that historically. Anyway, one of the things he said when I was talking about Biden was he believes that they want to, I think you believe the same thing, right? They want a one-party state. Like, the Democrats want a one-party state.
Yeah.
All people in America influentially want a one-party state, and that is frightening. Because then that becomes very close. They're only like a few steps behind what China is right now. If they become a one-party state, very close to what that is, and that's—I just see it being totally, totally believable situation to be in 12 months from now. And you go, "Holy fuck, what happened there?"
Yeah,
what happened there?
I think it's slowly going that way. I think they've looked at China and go, "We can do this better. We like the way this works. We can do this better." I think that's true. I don't think it's pure democratic thing.
And then what do we do? Let's say America becomes this one-party state, which is totally in the realms of possibility. America becomes a one-party state. What? How do we act then? Are we still USA's up?
I think we go the same way.
Really?
I think it'll happen with a British flavour to it, yeah? But I think it'll effectively end up being the same thing. Do you not think that feel like is what we are now? What's the difference between Conservatives and Labour currently?
Well, they're not the only two parties, Gus.
Yeah, but the only two parties that are likely to get in.
No, they're not. If you look
at... We've got...
They're not. The Lib Dems are... The Lib
Dems... Sorry, let me talk.
Woo!
What does that mean? Let me talk. I've started a sentence and you started talking over me.
You've changed since you put that linen shirt on. Go on.
Surely I'd be more submissive. Or am I like an aggressive bear gay? No. So, Conservatives have obviously fallen to pieces. But there's no other... There are other parties. But there's no other real threat. The Conservative Party, as it stands now, is so... It's not a right-wing party. It's closer to a left-wing party than other Conservative parties have ever been. Now, I'm not saying... So, Labour Party and Conservatives are currently fucking very, very similar. The Labour Party might go... If they came into power, might decide to go uber left and go crazy. That could happen. I don't think it's going to. I think you're effectively going to have... You would end up with a uniparty because there's no choice between them. It won't matter who's in. That's what I mean by a one-party thing. Yes, you do have a losing the choice. But it doesn't matter who wins in the end because you're basically just going to get a slightly different flavour of the way these policies are enacted. So there's the same policies but spun for the costume of the party and the supporters of that party. That's where things are going to happen because there's no... Who the fuck is the threat? None of them are a threat to Labour now. That's what I think. But it's like the same thing happens. I think the same thing happens in these in countries. We follow the US generally. I think the same thing happens, but every country has a different character. And so they, even though the end result is the same, the way that they have to do this stuff is specific to that country's character.
But in order to be a one-party state, you need to have no other political parties and an inability for anyone to vote for them, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, like officially, you're working off like old doctrine. You're working off an old update. That's what it used to have to look like. That's China. That's the official version. Yes, this is definitely a one-party state. But you can have all the functioning aspects of a one-party state with two parties.
Go on.
Do you not see? I don't know why you can't see that. So what's happening, the official line on stuff and what? So yeah, China, one party state. There is one party. There's the Chinese Communist Party. There's the only, you can't vote for anybody else.
Because there isn't anyone else.
Because there isn't anyone else. Yeah. The policies and the way that country works then happens is this way. Happens this way. You can have a country that still has two parties, has fucking three parties. But all those parties are so similar and have the same policies virtually. So there's no real difference anyway. So you can vote for a different batch, but the policies that are enacted are generally the same end result. So you effectively have a one-party state in practice when you've got 10 parties to choose from. But it doesn't matter
who gets in. Where is it anywhere like that? That's not a realistic scenario.
That's where the UK kind of is now.
No, it's not.
I disagree with you. I think it is.
It's not. If it was where the UK is now, right, the glaring difference between the popularity of Labour and the popularity of Conservatives, or Labour and all the rest, would not be as big as it is.
No, I'm not.
If they're that similar. Not really.
No, I think in practice, the policies that are enacted will be so similar. Do you think? So look at the major problems in the US currently and the UK currently. So, major one probably is immigration, isn't it? Would you agree with that?
Right here in the UK.
In the UK.
Immigration. Well, the number one problem.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So if you had to fix three things in the UK, three things that are the major issue. Immigration, housing crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah? Give me a third.
The fucking political system.
Well, one that politicians might say they're going to fix. Point I'm trying to make is...
The NHS.
Okay, NHS. Okay. Do you think the way that all those different parties are going to handle those, not what they say, what actually happens. Do you think
cost of living?
Okay,
change it. Cost of living.
So, do you think if Labour got in, it would make any real difference to those problems? Like real difference, not they throw some money at it and they do a different. They talk about it in a different way. They bring loads of different policies about it, and then loads of whatever you like. Do you think practically on the ground, any of those things are going to get better in a different under Labour than they would as they are now?
I don't know. And the reason I don't know is I don't know exactly what policies they're saying they're on about bringing in. Right? I don't
know. Because they haven't said any.
But what the main reason that Labour are so far ahead in the polls, right, if the polls to be believed, I think in this case, yeah, they're fairly fucking reliable, is not because their popularity has gone to the roof. It's because the popularity of Conservatives has dropped off the face of a cliff.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like lack of options, people are thinking, well, Labour.
Yeah. So you effectively have. So it doesn't matter. You effectively end up.
You were saying that in a one-party state, the new in the UK is effectively a one-party state because of the similarity between all the parties. And I'm saying there isn't a similarity between all the parties. That's the point I'm making. No, if you have a situation, go on.
I'm saying the end result that those parties produce will be so similar. However, it's wrapped, the end result will be so similar so that it doesn't matter who you vote for. So that it is effectively a one-party state. It has the same effect as a one-party state, even though you've got 10 different parties you can vote for. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe. I don't know.
Right. Okay. How did it take 10 minutes to get that out?
Well, because we have a difference of opinion on what we think a one-party state is. I would say one-party state is where there is an inability for anyone to vote for anyone else. There's no possibility because those parties don't exist. They're not allowed. Yeah.
And I'm saying that's the old way of thinking about it. It doesn't help to think about the one-party. If you care about... If a one-party state was amazing and it worked, if the end result of that was perfect and everyone's life got better, people would kind of be okay with it. Not everybody, but lots of people would kind of be okay with it because they care about whether their life is good, whether the country's going the right direction, whether their family is safe, all of those things, the standard of life, all those things. You wouldn't care quite so much. That's why lots of people in China are quite happy with their lot. There's lots of fucking people who just live in fucking dung and eat shit. That's Jen. But lots of people in China are quite happy because things are going well for them. If you have... Fucking hell, my train of thought flew up my fucking arse when I was thinking about people eating shit because I was thinking about that guy in America who's been eating shit. The politician guy. Anyway.
He's been what?
Well, we'll come back to this next. There's a guy in the... We'll come back to this because it's fun.
Okay.
But yeah. I think that's the old way of thinking about a one-party system. You have to think about... It's like a name for a way of doing things. You can still have the same end result. The end result is what's important. It's the product of the system. So if the end product... is effectively the same, no matter how many choices you have to vote for. That's effectively one party. They all have the same agenda. They're all going in the same direction. No one's going to bend that further properly. Everyone still wants to push that. No one's going to fix immigration. No one's going to fix these problems because a lot of them they believe are fixable. They have an idea about what. Like we know that you could stop immigration as an example. You could stop it tomorrow. We know that they're not stopping it because they don't want to. They've decided that this is what is right for the country. Somebody has. And I don't think Labour coming in changes that. So if there's no policy change, if there's no actual action on the ground change, regardless of the policy that they put out, what has changed by voting for Labour? Nothing. It's the same thing with a different badge on it. It's a subtle difference. It's anything like you're calling something a one-party state. You know, no, we've got 10 parties. But does anything change when you vote for any of them? No, not really. Well, you've got one fucking party state, then, haven't you? Effectively. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand.
In a very long-winded way. Yeah, Google for fun. Well, I'm trying to think of his political position, but there is a guy who is in politics. I don't know if he's like a mayor or something, who was literally eating shit on video.
He's eating his own shit.
And he's been caught out for this.
American
and now
product.
There, obviously, everyone went, "What the fuck are you doing eating your own shit? Maybe we don't want you to be our representative."
And oh, this is a Spanish politician.
Yeah. I say, did I say US?
But this is on Reddit. Spain politician resigns after resurfaced videos eating his own feces and asking to be humiliated. Well, the humiliation has been achieved. Let's have a look. Okay, SimonMerceCha.com. A far-left Spanish politician was forced to resign after photos and videos emerged of him eating his own feces. Oh, there's a screenshot there. Cool.
Yeah.
He looks to be naked. He's on all fours.
You don't want to get dirty, do you? You don't want to get shit on your clothes.
You don't want to get dirty. He looks to be naked. He's on his. He's like in he's on his hands and knees.
Yeah.
And he's bending down to the floor to eat. One is blurred out. It looks like shit. I assume it's shit.
Yeah, shit. Yeah, but I just been people. I think it's why I said US. But there's been lots of people in the US defending him. Basically saying what's this got to do with his ability to do the job. You know when the sort of be kind, we've got to be accepting of people line goes just too far. I think it's reasonable for people to say, I don't want the guy representing me to eat his own shit. Don't think that's a good idea. I think that's a reasonable position. There is a line with your fucking personal tastes where maybe your judgment is clouded if you are for that. And that may affect other things that you're thinking about. I think that's reasonable.
It's the sexual preferences one is tough on this subject, isn't it? However, I agree with you. I would not want him. And I would not want him because there's like something fundamentally wrong about eating your own feces. In the same way, there's something fundamentally wrong about incest. It's for the same reasons. It's like, you're going to get really ill.
We know this isn't a good idea.
Yeah, this is a bad idea. It's an edge thing, okay, and you get a kick from it. But who's going to be your health minister?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, then, you brought the health minister thing there, made me think about fat health ministers. I don't think they should be fat health ministers. You know what I mean? Like, that should preclude you from being in that position.
I couldn't bring myself to appoint a health minister. I didn't look healthy. And I'm not saying people who look unhealthy are unhealthy, but mainly they are.
Yeah,
right?
Mainly they are.
For whatever reason. But you need to have someone who is
healthy.
If you're going to give health advice and guidance to the country, to people, they need to be people who look like they have the authority and experience and the knowledge and the intent to give guidance to the country.
Yeah. Isn't that body shaming though? Yes, don't care.
Well, no, I'm not saying like people overweight are any less mentally capable, although historically there's indication that they are.
Not look into that one.
Easy for me to say because I'm fucking Mr. Slim Bloke, right? But I'm saying that, when you look for people who are going to influence, who are going to lead on some aspect of anything, they need to look like they know, understand, and have good experience in that thing.
Yeah, that's
In this case, it's being healthy.
Yeah, and that's why you should not listen to us because we're both monks.
Yeah, and people who are overweight look less healthy than people who are not overweight. It's a fact of the matter, you know. And that's super shit for people who can't help their weight for whatever reason.
There's not many of them.
But anyway, this is a. I don't like this subject.
Why?
It's fucking. Because there are overweight people, mate. And this conversation makes them feel sad. That's why they like it.
Well.
I know.
What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Like it's a fucking thing. It's one of the things you have, unless you do genuinely have a medical condition, and there are those people. Absolutely, there are those people. Some people have long term ones. Some people have temporary ones. That means they put on some weight. But the reality is, if you for the vast majority of people on the planet, if you eat less and move more, you will not be fat. Sorry, it makes you sad, but that's a fact. It's one of the main things you have absolute control over. You don't have much control over full control.
Well, most people do. There are some circumstances where people. I would hate to be in a position where, you know, I've become overweight. I've become overweight through my own, for whatever reason, right? It's not medical. I've just become overweight because fucking whatever reason. And I realize that. And I'm not able to do enough to overcome that weight gain and get me back down to a healthy level. Because, and I can think of it, I can think of circumstances where that would be the case, where you are in a job which requires very little physical activity and it's very long hours, right? And very draining. And you leave and you come out of that shift work, for example, some sort of shift work, for example, or some, you know, doesn't have to be shift work. It could be, anyway, there are examples of that, right? Where you find and you come out of work and maybe you've got a family or maybe you're knackered and you come out and literally finding the time, or maybe you've got two or three jobs, finding the time to allocate to physical fitness is not enough. And maybe you are trying with whatever money you earn, you're trying to eat as healthily as possible. Right, and you are, but it's not enough to counter the long hours you're spending during the day of inactivity and your inability to allocate time to fitness, because literally you'd run yourself into the ground out of physical exhaustion.
I know what you mean. You know? That scenario is really difficult, but it's not impossible. It's like you. I know I'm being mean, but like if you eat less, you will lose weight.
Yeah.
So eat less. If you're putting on weight, you are taking in too many calories. You do not need that many calories. Even if you're really tired, even if you're working constantly, even if you've got a very demanding long-hour job, if you are putting on weight, the fuel that you're putting into your engine is more than you need.
Is that it? Or change what you're eating.
Or both. They both have the same effect. Eat less, or if you can eat a different thing that makes the same thing. But it's not helpful to tell people they can't do anything. It's not helpful for anybody. It's not helpful for the fucking NHS dealing with long-term health issues of that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. The whole freedom thing. If you want to eat loads, and be fat. Can't stop you. Crack on. But don't then complain about it and say you're unhappy because of it. You don't get to do both of those things.
Yeah, and not everybody bothered about being fucking slim. Slim. Like, some people are like, I'm just happy. Some people have a natural body where, they just have this fucking layer of fat. Like, it just that's how they are. You know, their body is. I'm totally happy like that. Fucking cool. Fucking cool.
Yeah.
No dramas, you know. How do we get onto this? I don't know what point I was trying to make there, but, you know. All creatures great and small. All creatures great and small. God loves them all.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Have you ever been a churchgoer?
In my youth, and then I had to go for a bit when I was doing my fucking degree, just to go and experience like other religions and shit.
Oh, what was the degree in? Remind me.
Theology.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and music. So my
fucking linen shirt. Linen shirt explains all.
I mean, I'm sensitive. I'm a musician. What can I tell you? my uni years was playing bass and arguing with people, Christians mainly, because it was a Christian university. Yeah, because I didn't have the qualifications to go to university, so I had to do some bluff course and go to some pikey university in Liverpool, which was just full of fucking Irish Catholic girls who were on their way to be nuns. Yeah, so in my university, you did Christianity first. So you got Christianity, when you were learning about religions, you got Christianity out of the way. And then they taught you how to critique religion and, you know, start ripping stuff to bits. It was funny. It was good. It was a good time. I enjoyed it. But yeah, have I ever been religious? Like, I don't know. You can find the same, I'm sure we've said this before, you can find the same or very, very similar message in most religions. They're culturally specific ideas and ways of telling the same story in their original form anyway, I think. It's just over time, the culture that they grew up in can fuck them up. And obviously just knobheads who misrepresent them can fuck them up. Like, humans need something. We need something. Otherwise we go fucking mad. And you know, if you fall into the wrong ways or a different way of thinking, like if your politics can become your religion. You know, you've seen people who care so much about their political leanings and their political sort of the constraints that their political thinking puts on them that they become effectively like more religious than religious people. And it doesn't matter what your religious thinking is, that's or what your political thinking, whatever it is. You can go too far in everything. You can go real fucking dark. But yeah, I could probably follow most religions quite happily.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of them. Yeah. Or find things within even the ones I think are fucking shit. You probably find things within that would give you some sort of framework and meaning to your life. Yeah. Why have you?
Why have I what?
Well, you asked me if I've ever been religious or Christianity.
I asked if you've ever been a churchgoer.
Well, the same thing. So,
yeah, have I? I have. But I was forced to as a kid. My parents are Roman Catholic.
Okay.
I say I was forced to. My dad was also forced to. My mother was the instigator. Yeah, and then I stopped going.
I don't really think, like I say, I don't really have an issue with it. Like, whatever works for you.
No, it serves a purpose. You know, it's like we're a Christian country because we're a country with our, you know, our from our legal system to a bunch of other stuff is based on Christian values and standards, really. Mm. Which, as you say, could be most of any other religion's fucking values and standards are all very similar. Don't kill people, you know. Don't pump your neighbor's wife. All these kind of things.
That's it. It's all very obvious things.
Don't eat poo. Don't eat poo, one of the commandments. It's not, is it? It's not. Don't eat your own poo.
It seems like a bad idea. One of my fucking dogs does it real badly. Yeah.
Dogs are right with it, though, aren't they? Humans get real fucking ill from it.
Yeah. Well, have you researched it as a viable life choice and found out that it's not going to work for you?
I'm sure I looked it up recently for some reason. I did, by chance. I looked it up recently for some reason. I'm sure I did. Something like that. It was it that? Or was it drinking your own urine, maybe? It was something like that. I looked it up and said, how ill can you get from doing this?
We were in the fucking room in the reg. We won't be
it
alive.
Might have been. Well, there's a two-power guy who I knew, who I think you knew as well.
Name him.
No.
And text me his name.
His part, I will do. His party now. Trick. I'm doing it now. There's two guys with this name.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to text you, but it's the older one. Okay. And it's the one who did a similar job to what I did. I'm just checking now. But his partly trick in inverted commas was... So I'm just texting you.
Okay.
His party trick in inverted commas was to... Well, I was in the Pegasus pub in Aldershot when I first saw this. And he went to the bar. Yeah, they had rolls, you know, sandwich rolls behind the bar. He said, can I have a bap, please? And they gave it to him. He bought the bap, cheese roll or something. He took the cheese out. He went to the toilet. He came back. And he was eating a shit sandwich, his own shit sandwich. He shit into the bap and he ate the sandwich. He ate a full turd. That was his party trick. Like, that's what on earth? I mean, there's levels of extreme that you see when you're in, you know, because of the nature of the units we're part of. And other people who are not ferocious, power edge, or anything else, right? And other people. They've seen similar levels of extremity across other units in especially in the British Army, that you think, oh, this bit far, that I don't like the health implications. a little bit far. I don't mind all the gayness, but the poo eating, that's my line. I'm going to draw a line there. Can't do that. Okay. Wee drinking was okay for everyone, wasn't it? That was okay for everyone. It's normal.
Got hydrates in you.
Yeah.
It's just recycling.
But the poo eating? No. I tell you why I looked it up recently. It was because I was watching June. June of the body suits, which take the sweat from the body, recycle it into water you can drink. Yeah. Anyway.
I've not seen the second one yet.
Oh, mate. Brilliant.
Cool.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
Supposed to be visually very good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. I haven't actually read it. I've not read the books. I need to actually read it.
No, I've not.
Yeah. My brother's read all of them in English and Chinese.
Jesus.
Yeah, insane. I was like, wait, what's that you're reading? It's like, it's Dune. It's like, oh, right. So, yeah, I'm reading it again in Mandarin. I'm like, fucking hell. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
There you go.
Crackers. Have we got anything else to fit in?
No. I do need the shit, though.
All this talk's made you hungry.
It's breakfast time, mate.
Fucking hell. back in the, I don't know if there's anything else to talk about. I'm sure there was something else to kind of think.
FBI.
What about
FBI? That's
what it was. What about them?
You text me. Oh, CIA, sorry.
Oh, right. Okay. So, yeah, no. Yeah. Okay. We can do 5 minutes on this, I suppose.
Go on then.
So, there is. It's been a thing for a while that gangster rap in the 90s that we remember was actually enabled by the CIA in order to, you know, undermine and whatever you want, just generally fuck up and slow progress, maybe, if you believe all that, the sort of black inner cities of the US. Now, I think Ice Cube. Yeah, Ice Cube.
Mm-hmm.
NWA guy has kind of affirmed this and said, yeah, it's all bullshit. We got cash and support from X people. Who enabled the whole thing. Now, if you were looking at what's happened with fucking Diddy, turned out to be a closeted guy and, you know, apparently generally being the sort of daddy of abuse and I think it's allegedly still, I don't think it, but there's lots of stuff coming out about fucking P. Diddy. He was not a good dude and was kind of in charge of this ring of closeted black rappers. It's worth a look for some interest. Lots of interesting videos about it. And I didn't send you the video, did I? Shit. Right, I need to send you this video quickly. Okay. You see what I mean? So there's a video that's come out of Tupac.
Right.
When he was younger.
Yeah.
Not quite so gangster. So the story is that all of these guys were basically fucking kind of, as well as fucking each other, were kind of like theatre kids, like actors brought in to play a part as part of this. And in real life, they're not quite so fucking tough and whatever. It's all bullshit. I need to send you this fucking video. Talk while I look at my phone. That's what I do.
I send you the Bieber video.
Yeah, the Bieber video. That's part of this. I think that's a bit of a sketchy video.
That is extremely sketchy, yeah. Isn't it? Wow.
Well, I meant yeah. Sketchy as in there's the way it's cut. I'm not 100% sure it's Jen, but potentially that type of thing we're talking about. When you're reading stuff or looking into stuff, whatever, I talk for the people who are just listening. So you have to talk now while I look at my phone.
Right. Okay. So Ice Cube admits gangster rap was a CIA psyop to sow division in America. That's on Real PV. And then apparently there's the first person that said that was not Ice Cube. It was a guy called John Homeston, a retired CIA agent in RU. Where is RU? The heck is that? Russia.
I've sent you the link.
Okay.
Right. I will talk now while you watch this video, fucking Tupac.
Go on.
Looking a bit fucking effeminate.
And, oh my God.
Yeah. Wait, listen to his voice and like the actions. I might be able to hear his voice, but just
I can't listen to the voice because I don't want to listen to
the voice. But you'll hear it. But not quite such a tough guy. So potentially this might be a thing that there's, you know. And it's weird, like, cause you've got the conspiracy theories about blackmail and only people who have things in their closets getting into actual political power because they're then easy to control by each other. And it's all the, well, if one goes, we all go. We're all real fucking deviants. And our fear of being outed by somebody else is what keeps us all together. So you have to have something over you to get into power. Seems like a reasonable theory, you know. If you were interested in just
listen to this.
Go on.
Listen to this. Right, so I'm watching that video. I can't use the sound, but I can see that Tupac looks very effeminate there. So Tupac was a ballerina.
Yeah.
He went to link back up. Hang on a minute. Right, where is that? As a teenager, Tupac Shakur attended the Baltimore School for the Arts, where he studied ballet and acting. During the school's production of The Nutcracker, he played the Mouse King. He started his career as a dancer for Digital Underground. He also attended ballet lessons and acting school in Baltimore. Now, listen to this. Apparently, in quite a few interviews, Tupac said he was just playing a character. But this was pointed out here by someone, like, he was playing a character for, this is for rap.
Yes.
He's playing this gangster character, but he was actually, you know, involved with actual gangsters and real criminals as part of it all.
Well, that's going to happen,
Tupac,
isn't it?
Tupac said thug life stood for the hate you give, little influence, fuck everybody.
I don't know. So imagine this scenario. Let's get tinfoil hat in and assume this is all real. Wouldn't you have the leaders of these movements effectively on the payroll to direct, like the big players within this movement, we direct what's happening and the sort of general vibe of each, you know, the East-West Coast thing. You direct that whole vibe through people who are on the payroll who are maybe actors. And yes, they are playing the part, and yes, there will be real criminals who are involved with them, but you know, you surround them with people who are also able to protect those people and give a good sort of paid off front to it so that it all seems realistic. And then at the point at which you know the people who are very good at keeping the party line and you trust them and are useful to you maybe down the line, like maybe P. Diddy, like Jay-Z, these people, like fucking Ice Cube, if he, you know, he played his part, you kill off. When you want the thing to be over, because when you want gangster rap, when it's basically finished, it's time for it to all go a bit poppy and wank. You create a scenario where they kill each other.
So he was apparently a crack cocaine dealer later on, in when he was 20, for a time.
Maybe.
Yeah, but there's also I'm down a Reddit rabbit hole at the minute. Is it Reddit? Oh no, it's Quora. It's Quora, not Reddit. Okay. Where they lots of people from that era said he was probably gay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So most of these people potentially are gay now. Only within those circles is that a problem. Now, tell me if you are a black guy, you tell me if I'm talking shit, but I think the black community in general gives more of a fuck, even today, about being gay than the white community. Let's just say that. And certainly in those days. So, whereas for like a white guy, saying you're gay most of the time, don't really fucking matter. People go, yeah, whatever, don't give a fuck. You have to go paedophile for that, don't you? You've got to go paedophile if you're a white guy to get the leverage. But for the black community at that time, just say that they're gay probably works for leverage, doesn't it? That's as far as you need to go. You know, and it's only like in the later stages of it where you've got people like fucking R. Kelly and now Diddy, who look like they might be fucking pedos, but R. Kelly is a pedo. But yeah, maybe Diddy's a pedo too. But yeah.
Yeah.
But all these people in the public eye having these fucking skeletons.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the big tinfoil, isn't it? That everyone you see has something.
Yeah.
You don't get to see anybody unless And that's not, there's no puppet master. There doesn't need to be a puppet master behind that. It's just an in-group. You know, people who've managed to get in that position anyway go, right, well, we're not letting these people in our gang unless, if they're fucking normal people. I'm not a fucking normal person. I've got something wrong with me. I've got these weird fucking things that I like to do. I don't want anyone to know about that. So if you want to come and associate with me and be in my fucking gang and, you know, work with me in this industry, I want broken people. And if I want that person to work with me, we need to get something on them so that I can then work with them. It's a horrible, cabally, nasty way of doing things, but it's perfectly reasonable that you might do that if you're a nutbag. And that's how everybody ends up with shit in their closets. It doesn't have to be a fucking Dr. Evil pulling the strings. It's just turds flocking together.
I need to drop.
Did you go do poo?
Yeah, I know. I'm starving.
Well, there you go. 2-1. Yeah. Right. Thanks for listening, people. Is there anywhere else on the internet where you can discuss the same things we discuss? Where you can go from Israel, Hamas, shit, Israel, Iran, shit, to literal eating shit, and then gangster rap being a CIA style.
4chan.
Yeah, it's dangerous, isn't it? That's not a good way of selling this to people. But it's like, that's why you shouldn't listen to us. Don't fucking listen. We're fucking idiots. Don't take it seriously. We're just chatting.
Right.
Peace time.
Catch you next time. Bye. Bye, people.
Peace time. Bye. Bye.